In Bob, we trust.
Americans take the cake.
You know why you have this ridiculous system of tape delaying the Olympics?
Because that's how they had to do it back in the 1950s and 1960s.
And so they still do it today.
While the rest of the world is technologically prancing along,
you dinosaurs are still trying to put stuff in cars and on boats to send big-ass one-inch tapes back to America to run.
Bob McCowan, Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
So the hockey world is on the tizzy over the Chara thing. And understandably. And now the dialogue has taken a turn with Air Canada threatening to pull all its sponsorship of hockey if some action is not taken by the National Hockey League. The NHL, in typical fashion, has rejected the notion that anything they have done might be wrong. Even to the point of Gary Bettman suggesting that maybe some of our teams will stop flying Air Canada if they don't think they're giving them the appropriate level of service, which is to say what? That Air Canada is threatening to crash airplanes with NHL players or executives on it if they don't come around to their way of thinking? God, this guy is a buffoon. But the bigger idiots are the CEOs, executives, owners of NHL teams that allow this guy to continue this incessant parade of nonsense. This guy is Nero, the Nero of hockey. While there are a million issues going on in the National Hockey League that are of concern, this bonehead is in Phoenix, giving speeches, holding news conferences, and doing substantially nothing. He didn't have to go anywhere. All he had to do was do what we did and pick up the phone, and he could have talked to the people at the Goldwater Institute. That's what we did. And we got the CEO and president, the top dog, top enchilada, to come on the program. Didn't have to twist any arms, just asked. And she came on and gave their position very succinctly. No bones about it. If they do this, they will sue. But this is the way Bettman handles everything in the National Hockey League. There's a fire, he'll try and distract you. Yeah, but look at the cheese we're making over here. Your building's burning down, but look at the cheese. One wonders, and this will be interesting over the next few days, will there be others? Will there be other corporate citizens who finally wake up and say, are we sure we want to be involved in all this? Will Air Canada be a leader, or will they be standing out there on their own? And if they're standing out there on their own, the effect will be nothing. Let's be blunt about it. Whether Air Canada decides to pull all its sponsorship or stay in hockey, and I don't see how they can do the latter, it won't matter if there is not support, if there are not others prepared to stand beside them and fight the fight. We will discuss it at some length. Kerry Kaplan, the president of Cosmos Sports Marketing, will join us in studio in a bit. We are hoping Denny Vandal of Air Canada will join us later on in the program as well to discuss this kind of stuff. Also, Kevin Davis is the president, CEO of Bauer Performance Sports. He'll join us in studio. We had intended to spend some time, and we will, on equipment and also maybe some discussion about the new pitcher's helmet that has come out. I think most of you have probably seen this story. It was developed as a result of an accident involving a young player who was a pitcher who was hit with a line drive in the head. He suffered, obviously, a concussion and fortunately survived. But it points out the dangers. And so a manufacturer has come up with a helmet to be worn by pitchers. Frankly, I hadn't thought of it. Should have. Seems like a good idea. I hope they'll go into production on it, and it will be developed. But we'll talk about injuries, protection, etc. with Kevin Davis as well. Don Banks, Alan Ashby coming up as well. On an unrelated note, a most interesting story has emerged through the football program at Ohio State. It began, and we talked about this when the situation first came to light. Several high-profile players went into a tattoo parlor and exchanged memorabilia that they'd collected for tattoos. It wasn't stolen memorabilia. It was their rightful property. They exchanged some of that memorabilia for tattoos. This apparently contravenes some NCAA bylaw. Some people found out about it. The NCAA tried to get Ohio State, and specifically the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Jim Tressel, to do something about it. When Tressel apparently did not act, they went to the NCAA. The NCAA suspended the players for the first five games of next year, and now Tressel has been both fined and suspended, a $250,000 fine and a two-game suspension. To talk about it, Paul Crane of Cox Sports. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Bob. How do you do? Well, I think I know the answer to part of that.
Yeah, well.
But you're rightfully irritated. Very good.
This thing bothers me from a number of from every perspective. I find it difficult to find anything redeeming in what was done at any level, except maybe what the players actually did. I'm having a difficult time finding fault with athletes who took what is ostensibly their own property and exchanged it for something. I mean, I think that getting a tattoo is stupid personally, but if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do, and exchanged it for a service. And I find it difficult to believe that this is such a heinous offense that these guys must sit out the first five games of next year. Let's start with that one, because that's the beginning of this row of dominoes.
Right, and I think there was, in addition, but we won't bog down, I think there was money exchanged with some of them also. But whether, and we may disagree on this a little bit, but the players, when they get these things, whether it be game memorabilia or championship rings or things of that kind, the NCAA has already made it clear, after what several University of Georgia players did with their SEC championship rings by selling them on eBay and other places after in 2003, there was no rule on the books, and they made it. There was a huge brouhaha about that, and while those players were not suspended, from that point on, a rule was put in the books that you cannot do it. And the fear is that people would come in and be able to give money to players for something and overpay for a championship ring or a jersey. You know how fans are, and you know how agents are, and they could somehow put money in a player's pocket on something that, yes, is his, but they can't do anything like that till after their eligibility.
You mean the fear is that they would overpay, sort of like maybe the television networks overpay the NCAA?
Exactly.
Yes, and they wouldn't want that.
Exactly. And the way these schools are allowed to make money off these jerseys, again, you know, the number 15 jersey at Florida, for example, please don't tell me the Florida Gators are the reason people bought the 15 jersey. Tim Tebow was the reason people bought the 15 jersey. So, but he didn't get any money for that, but that's a whole nother can of worms. The point is, the rule was on the books. I had a problem with the fact that the NCAA allowed these kids to play in the Sugar Bowl, but not.
Oh, yeah.
But have it. But it's so heinous that they are suspended for five games next year. You shouldn't have played in the Sugar Bowl. And to use the excuse at the time that they weren't properly educated, excuse me. After 2003, everyone knows what the rule is, whether you like it or not. This is the rule. And now for Ohio State to self-punish Jim Tressel by suspending him for the first two games next year when they're playing Armpit State and St. Mary's of the Plains is also almost laughable to me, because the number one thing for a head coach, especially at a school like this, if you become aware of a violation or a potential violation or a kid who might have spit on the sidewalk the wrong way, you must report that at least to your athletic director, and he didn't do anything. I think the NCAA is going to hit him even harder.
All right, so we get to, and I don't, you know, I understand that there's an NCAA rule, and we could sit here and argue the relative merits of that rule, but I do acknowledge that the players, if they didn't know, should have known, and some form of punishment was appropriate. Whether having a player sit for 5 games out of a 12-game season is an appropriate punishment given the offense, when athletes routinely are arrested in this sport and get no punishment, boggles my mind. But nonetheless, that's the NCAA. Yeah. Let's take the next step. So as the dominoes fall, first these players go down, and now Jim Tressel goes down. $250,000 fine and a 2-game suspension. What was it that Jim Tressel was expected to do and didn't do?
Well, he should have immediately, as soon as he got that email from a former player and a former lawyer who is not exactly the most straight and narrow guy either, but that's beside the point, that once he got an email tipping him to the fact that, you know what, you got players selling things, memorabilia, and there is an email response from Tressel saying he's going to get on it ASAP, is he should have contacted the athletic director at the very least and said, I got this email, I'm going to look into it, you know, what do you think? And he should have been brought along every step of the way. The problem for Jim Tressel is he didn't do anything. And at the very least, he needs to let the AD know. So that's why the school is now punishing him. But I think in light of it leading to this 5-game suspension, which also is just the NCAA, you and I are absolutely on board with, you know, these guys, I don't know that they really have a clue on what to do and how to do it. If it's such a bad thing that you're suspending these kids 5 games next season, that's why I think Tressel's going to end up with a little more than 2. Because as the leader of this ship, the CEO of the football program, this, you know, $80 million a year venture, he didn't do the right thing. He did not do the right thing.
Should the Ohio State University have fired Jim Tressel?
I don't know. I would say I don't think this is should have been a fireable offense necessarily. I think the fact they're making him issue a public apology, ooh, that should hurt. I think more, not to morph into a whole different thing we're not talking about, but I think what Bruce Pearl did at Tennessee is more likely a fireable offense, committing a violation at his home, knowing it's a violation, telling those on hand it's a violation, and to be sure not to tell anyone about it, and if asked, lie. That is a coaching fireable offense, I believe, and I think his troubles are going to continue there. But this, I think this was just stupid, and I think it's deserving of a second chance. I'm not, you know, I do think he's going to probably get more than 2 games.
What do you suspect? I know I'm asking you to read Tressel's mind, but what do you believe the motivation was on Tressel's behalf to not investigate, not tell anybody, do nothing?
Well, I can't for a moment think. I would like to think it just slipped his mind, because I don't think the fact he got an email from an outside source would indicate that he would have to know it's not going to go away. It's not like, oh, nobody knows about it. I think he just messed up, and he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would knowingly try to have a violation and throw it under the rug. It wasn't under the rug. It came to him from an outside source. So I think he just messed up. Whether he forgot about it because it came at a time where he was doing 100 other things or not, I don't know. But I'm a little surprised. I'm a lot surprised that his very first reaction wasn't call the AD. Just so in case he ended up having 500 other things to do,
yeah,
and
his butt's
slipped
covered
through his cracks, his you-know-what was covered.
Yeah. I guess there's some validity to that. Maybe it did slip his mind. Having said that, as you document, this is a potentially serious offense. I'm not sure that he would have been aware that if he doesn't do anything, this will get out. Because the guy who tipped him was a Columbus lawyer.
Right.
who may or may not be an Ohio State Buckeye fan, but my guess is if you are a lawyer in Columbus, Ohio, you probably aren't a Michigander. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
So maybe he felt like this guy tipped him off to something. Tressel felt like, well, he ain't going to tell anybody, and why should I tell anybody? I'm not going to put my starting quarterback and some of my best players at risk here. Isn't that possible?
I suppose.
And why hasn't Tressel stood up after the fact and said, mea culpa, I should have done something?
Yes, and he has. He is only now. I would say this. If that's the scenario, then Jim Tressel is nowhere near. I don't know that he's nowhere near the coach I think he is, and I'm not sure he's intelligent enough to even be allowed on a college campus.
Well, the other thing that disturbs me is I don't know whether it was the president of the Ohio State University or who it was, but one of the uppity-ups was questioned about the future of Jim Tressel and just summarily dismissed the notion that what Tressel did would be even subject to any kind of review, much less punishment or suspension or dismissal on the part of the university. Just dismissed the notion as being ridiculous. It's absurd.
Yeah, well, I think, which in itself, I agree with you. That's absurd. I personally don't think it's a fireable offense, but I think it's pretty bad because whether you think the violation is like, ooh, really bad or not, that's not the point.
No.
In the world they live in, any violations, especially for a program like Ohio State, and especially when it involves a player like Terrell Pryor and some of the others that were involved in this, that should send up a red flag and have them moving in a major way, because the NCAA, as we all know, too often takes small things and treats them like large things. You never can tell what they're going to do about anything, and as a coach of a program like this, when a player like Pryor is involved, I would think that would become priority one, because you don't want to turn it a little molehill into a mountain. You want to nip that thing in the bud, and he didn't nip anything in the bud.
Paul, you got to get out of here, but I have 30 seconds. Do you think there's any chance the NCAA will sanction Ohio State in any way significantly?
I think they're on that list. I think they have a list of those that they give special treatment to, and I would say Ohio State's one of them. They'll do something. They'll make sure Tressel knows that he messed up. I think they'll give him a little more, but no, I don't think they're going to hit them badly.
They're not going to hit, not worse
than they have by suspending those players for 5 games.
No bowl games, sanctions, or anything like that?
I'd be surprised, but you never can tell what they'll do.
Thanks, pal. It's always good to talk to you.
You too, Bob.
Paul Crane of Cox Sports. When we come back, Kerry Kaplan is the president of Cosmo Sports Marketing. He'll join us in studio. What happens when sponsors step up? Will the NHL react to the Air Canada threat, or will they continue to just poo-poo it? That was the initial blush from Gary Bettman. Or is it necessary for additional companies, additional NHL sponsors, to stand behind Air Canada and say, we too want change? We too are concerned about our involvement in a game that we don't like, or we don't like the way it's being adjudicated. We'll address that subject when Primetime continues. You're listening on The Fan, watching on Sportsnet 1.
Showdown Joe goes no holes barred on the Showdown tonight at 9.
Twenty-six past the hour. It's Primetime Sports on The Fan and Sportsnet 1. Bob McCowan in our Toronto studios. A little bit later on, Kevin Davis, the president and CEO of Bauer Performance Sports, will join us in studio. Don Banks of Sports Illustrated. We hope Denis Vandal of Air Canada will be with us to give us their official take on their actions yesterday, which we're going to discuss now. Alan Ashby, the voice of the Blue Jays as well, all coming up, and Brent will be in here too. Joining me in studio is Kerry Kaplan. He's the president of Cosmo Sports Marketing. Good of you to join us. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you.
Shocked when you saw the story that Air Canada was taking the action they've taken?
Yeah, there's not much precedent for this one. You know, there's action when a player, when a Tiger Woods, when a Kobe Bryant does something, but very rare that a company will do this relative to a league, and it was a bold statement.
Was it a premature statement in your view?
Well, the timing's interesting. You know, there's always going to be questions. I think it's very bold, but the timing and the method. You know, if they're really serious, should they have gone public, or do you go privately to Gary Bettman and Bill Daly? And secondly, why does it happen? Your head office is in Montreal, and it happens after an incident that is not, you know, there's been many more severe. But having said that, maybe it's a tipping point.
Here's the one point about it that I think is interesting is the fact that I do not view Air Canada as the kind of entity that is likely to suffer from a business standpoint because of a backlash over this decision. In other words, a meat manufacturer takes a similar stance and turns out to be unpopular. You don't buy their meat. Or at least there's a perception that you might not. I'm not sure the risk to Air Canada is that great. I don't view Air Canada as being really in a competitive industry.
No, they're not, but they have something interesting. They get $30, $35 million from 11 NHL teams,
yeah.
Whereas, you know, McDonald's doesn't. You can't promise that players are going to eat at McDonald's, but teams are flying Air Canada, so they're giving up. They're not just spending money. They're making money.
So well, and that's why I respect their decision even more. I think it was – I tend to agree with you. I think it was probably premature. I think it would have been more advisable – rather than to get caught up in the drama of the moment. And yesterday was the moment. The incident happened 2 days ago. Yesterday, the radio in Montreal was filled with this. I don't doubt that there were senior corporate people at Air Canada in Montreal who were driving around listening to this kind of stuff going on, and that at some point somebody sat down and said, let's talk about it.
Yep.
And they decided to act. I don't think they did it with any ulterior motive here. I think they, rightly or wrongly, they believed in this. They believe that there's something inherently wrong with Zdeno Chara not being punished, that the game is too dangerous, that there are too many risks, and that the National Hockey League is doing nothing about it.
Well, I think they may have ulterior motives, but I don't know if it matters. You know, they made a statement. What's going to happen now, at least those 11 teams that fly with Air Canada with preferred treatment,
right,
and discounted rates are calling Gary Bettman right now and saying, is this going to happen? Because Air Canada gave it's a threat. It wasn't soft. They said, if you don't suspend based on this incident, the last part of the quote was extremely bold, serious, you know, make a serious decision and do it really quickly.
Because you're absolutely right. Let me give you the exact quote to the folks out there who haven't heard this. And this is a quote from the letter. Unless the NHL takes immediate action with serious suspensions to the players in question to curtail these life-threatening injuries, Air Canada will withdraw its sponsorship of hockey, unquote. Not much wiggle room there.
Now the one question is, are they overstepping their bounds? You know, what if the NHL says to Air Canada, you know, this is a bit silly, but if the seats aren't less crowded on your flights, we're going to stop spending money on your airlines, or if the flights have a 2 hour delay time. I mean, they're really getting into the hockey business. I mean, that's a pretty pretty powerful statement there.
Yeah, I don't have any idea what Air Canada spends in total on hockey. I suspect, do you have any idea?
I don't have an idea, but I think it's comparable to what they're getting back. So, you know, that's the unique nature. Are they spending more than 30? I've heard they bring $35 million in. Are they spending more than that? I don't know.
That'd be tough.
Well, but what's interesting is they spawned the Air Canada Center. What happens to the...
Could they pull out of that?
Well, they're into 2019. But isn't that a strange relationship? If the NHL and Air Canada separate, break ties, how does MLSE deal with the fact that they play at the Air Canada Center every in the main market in the league? That's a pretty interesting.
Would Air Canada move to have their name removed from the building?
Well, that's, you wonder. Because if this comes out, Air Canada is now linked to, there's a fight between Air Canada and the NHL. And their name is on where the Leafs play. I don't think that's been addressed.
I wonder if in the language of the agreement there are any out clauses in it. I wonder if Air Canada could take an action to have their name removed because the league is no longer portraying a product that they want to be associated with. I'm generalizing there, but neither one of us are lawyers. So.
No. And I would doubt it. I would think someone else would come in and replace Air Canada Center on that building. But
I wouldn't be surprised if they did. And I would go further than that. I wouldn't be surprised if they pay more.
Right.
than what Air Canada is currently paying. Because the Air Canada deal, I think, by today's standards, is a cheap deal.
Well, here's the question. Was Air Canada looking for an out? Was Air Canada, you know, to make a decision in 24 hours, was Air Canada maybe thinking, this is a lot of money we put into hockey, and maybe here's our opportunity? They made the decision really quickly for a company of that size. Maybe they were, you know, it's cynical, but maybe they were thinking, should we be in this
game? I don't preclude that possibility, but I will say to you, I think that if they were looking for a way out, maybe they were looking for a way out based on the criteria they used in this case. In other words, they were looking at the succession of head injuries in hockey, the incessant discussion about the safety of the game, the health of the game, the impact on kids playing the game, the increase in violence, the National Hockey League's robust refusal to deal with any of these incidents and just poo-poo everybody off. You know, it's our game. We'll do what the hell we want with it. Maybe they were looking at this succession of things and talking about it for some time, and this was the tipping point.
Could be, but isn't it a strange thing to say if you don't suspend Chara, you don't suspend one player on one incident, and they're even saying more. They're saying we're going to get out of hockey. They went further than saying the NHL. They're suggesting that if Chara isn't suspended, Air Canada will no longer be involved in hockey. That's a...
I'm not convinced that's how this should be read. I think they're obviously relating to and reacting to the Chara hit.
Yep.
I don't read that they are demanding a punishment for Chara. They want immediate action with serious suspension to the players in question to curtail these life-threatening injuries. Not the player.
The players in question.
But not the player in question. The player in question, I would read to be Chara. The players in question refers to the succession of events in my mind that have taken place, including Chara.
But who else didn't get a suspension? You know, Gillies got his suspension. I mean, who else, you know, who else are they referring to?
Hopefully somebody from Air Canada will join us a little bit later on. Denny Vandal is supposed to be with us, and if he does, we'll have a better idea of what they're referring to and what their thought process was. Response within the advertising marketing community this morning to this. Is there a buzz?
Yeah, there is a buzz. I think the question is anyone else going to follow? I think a lot of people want to see how this plays out. And the NHL's in a tough spot. I mean, I can't imagine the NHL changing their ruling. But the NHL's in a very uncomfortable spot this morning where they've got teams aren't happy. You could have a major sponsor pulling out. And don't think other sponsors aren't looking at it.
How far do you think you have to go? Can the Air Canada threat achieve anything? Wow. Right now the NHL is responding with their backup saying, you know, screw you, we'll find another airline to fly.
Right.
Which I find typical of the National Hockey League. Typical of Gary Bettman and the National Hockey League.
Right.
When attacked, attack back.
Yeah.
No opening for dialogue or anything.
Right.
And no, you know.
Terrible. Or being reactive. The other thing the NHL could do is get rid of stanchions. Well, I haven't heard of a stanchion injury in the last 20 years besides this one. In other words...
Oh, you see guys get run into them. You see guys get hurt. Nothing
but
serious.
But not like that. I'm not disagreeing, get rid of it. But the NHL's so reactive that what the NHL would have to do is make a big change. You know, go to larger ice rinks.
Yeah, that'd be a process that would take 30, 40 years to
accomplish. Yeah, but why don't you do that? Every new building has to be in a larger ice rink.
I suggested that a long time ago. And I mean, now you have an environment where you have numerous buildings that are relatively new.
Yeah.
So you are past that cycle. But I would agree. You know, at some point you have to start somewhere and you should say, okay, from here on,
right. We're
going to adopt a larger ice surface. But the NHL is not interested in a larger ice surface.
Right, but
they're not interested in any change to the game.
But that's ridiculous. They should be interested in one of two things, larger ice surface or four players aside. To me, it's an obvious thing that they're reluctant to make that change. But if you give people more space, that's the solution to the problem.
Here's what wouldn't surprise me. We got to take the break. But here's what wouldn't surprise me. If they make some sort of announcement with regard to the stanchions, the edges of the glass. And let's reflect back a few years. A deflected puck goes into the stands in Columbus, Ohio, and a 12-year-old girl is hit with the puck and dies as a result of the injuries.
Yeah.
Within 24 hours, the National Hockey League ordered netting to be installed in every arena in the National Hockey
League. Even in minor leagues. It was put in all AHL, CHL. Yeah.
It was not done out of concern for the safety of the people.
No.
It was because for 80 years, that kind of stuff was happening. It was done out of fear of litigation.
Right.
Was libel chill.
Right.
Or lawsuit chill. It wouldn't surprise me if they did something here if there is a sense that they could be exposed in any way. Well, the difference being they've never, ever, ever responded to the threat of injury, death of players, believing that somehow that is within their control.
Right, but what Air Canada has done is new. This is what's going to be interesting here. There hasn't been a sponsor that has publicly come out and said change or else. So it's the NHL's on tough seat.
We'll take the break. We'll come back with more. Kerry Kaplan's in studio, the president of Cosmos Sports Marketing. Primetime will continue on The Fan and Sportsnet 1.
Before the game, it's Blue and White tonight at 6 with Gord Stellick. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Team before the hour with Kerry Kaplan, president of Cosmos Sports Marketing. Later, Kevin Davis, president and CEO of Bauer. Don Banks of Sports Illustrated. Alan Ashby, the voice of the Blue Jays. Stephen Brunt will be in here. At issue, Air Canada threatens to pull out of their hockey sponsorship and involvement. To what length, we don't know. To what could they actually take their name off of the Air Canada Center? Here's what they had to say, quote, unless the NHL takes immediate action with serious suspension to the players in question to curtail these life-threatening injuries, Air Canada will withdraw its sponsorship of hockey, unquote. The response from the National Hockey League, specifically the commissioner, in typical fashion, was, quote, Air Canada is a great brand, as is the National Hockey League, and if they decide that they need to do other things with their sponsorship dollars, that's their prerogative. It is the prerogative of our clubs that fly on Air Canada to make other arrangements if they don't think Air Canada is giving them the appropriate level of service, unquote. There's all kinds of gobbledygook and nonsense in that, that he had to bring in the National Hockey League as a great brand like Air Canada. What's the point of that? That's typical Gary. And the threat that they could go elsewhere.
Right.
I mean, I don't even know what the reality of that is. I assume that the specific reason that clubs use Air Canada is because it's the most convenient.
And best, and probably they get great rates. If they're a sponsor, they're getting deals. They're getting an advantage, obviously. It's a reciprocal relationship there. And I think that's what Gary's trying to say, is you pull out, so are we.
Yeah, I mean, we've all flown Air Canada. And you know what? Sometimes Air Canada's fine, and sometimes Air Canada's crap, like other airlines are. I have never viewed Air Canada as one of the great airlines of the world. But it's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. I don't know whether any of the other airlines are even capable of servicing the National Hockey League in the manner that they require.
Yep.
Do they all fly into all six Canadian cities? Do they all fly into U.S.? Do they all have hubs where they can ferry teams around? I don't know whether any of those things are true. Maybe there isn't a choice.
But why does Gary Bettman, why is there, as opposed to the aggressive, arrogant position that you did from the quote, why doesn't he make a call to Air Canada and say, let's try and work this out? You know, it's an unnecessary counterstatement.
Because Gary only knows one way to operate, and that's to bully.
Yeah, well, it's
He's done it. It's been my complaint with Bettman for as long as he's been in the job. And everybody who pays any attention to what the National Hockey League does and how they conduct their business and how Gary Bettman treats people is that he is a bully. He attempts to bully anybody that will allow it. He sat in this studio several years ago and tried to bully Brunt and I,
yeah.
And that's the last time he's been in here, and he won't be back until he either apologizes or gets down on a knee or does something significant.
But don't you think it's amazing the power he has? I mean, you know, you go from this to Phoenix. The amount of power... You know, you're going to have 11 teams here that want him to make peace with Air Canada.
You've raised the interesting point here, and this is the point that has constantly puzzled me and many others, mm-hmm. is not how Gary deals with things. It's that the governors allow him to do this over and over and over again. This is a guy who promised a franchise in Las Vegas, a franchise in Kansas City that would deliver $540 million. He delivered neither. He went into on a nothing more than a a personal deal has tried to prop up the Phoenix franchise that is unproppable, right. and at a cost of over $100 million to the owners.
Right.
His exclusion of Jim Balsley was motivated, and it may have been legitimate, it may not have been, depending on what Balsley was planning to do, but it was entirely motivated by Balsley's unwillingness to accept Gary's mandate, his 26-page addenda, to the purchase of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Remember, Balsley was on his way into the league. So this is how Gary has operated, and my puzzlement has always been, how do the 30 governors for whom Gary works allow him to continue to do this? And is this going to be the straw that breaks the camel?
Well, what's unbelievable, I would think if you took the general managers and the owners, I would say 90% of them, 90% I would guess, would prefer that the Phoenix Coyotes are in Winnipeg. Now, that's a guess, obviously, but I think somehow Gary has such power that even though he's in the vast majority, he still wills things. You know, this statement he made about Air Canada can do nothing but harm.
Oh, he has complete autonomy. I don't question that. And he does have extraordinary powers. And he does have a constituency of owners on the executive committee that are beholden to him because Gary has cut sweetheart deals for them.
Right.
And we all know who they are. The names are not a secret. We know who the power brokers in this league are. But the minute you dip directly into the pocketbooks of owners and impact them, and I don't know whether... will the Calgary Flames go into bankruptcy as a result of Air Canada pulling out? No. Is it going to even be significant money? I don't know. But it'll be something.
Oh, it's something. Losing it, they don't...
I agree with you. Somebody's on the phone today.
They don't want to lose $1 million. I mean, it may be... It depends on who... You know, if you've got... Air Canada's... And again, it's a two-way street. They're also getting sweetheart deals on flights. But again, I think Gary has so much power that I don't know if those 10, 11 phone calls are going to bear any fruit.
Yeah, the concern with this is that, as usually is the case, and you alluded to this previously, we talk about this a lot with respect to the National Football League collective bargaining agreement that's going on now. Worst thing that could happen, news is leaked out. That's happened in the last 2 days.
Yeah.
That means this deal's dead. If it's quiet, if you don't know what's going on, there's a chance for resolution. In this scenario, Air Canada has not really, they can't expect the NHL to respond. They can't expect the NHL to respond to their blackmail, which is what it is.
Yes, it is.
So therefore, they are committed to getting out now. Yeah. They didn't even leave the door open. They are now committed to no longer being a sponsor in the National Hockey League. The NHL is about to lose that sponsor and has to understand it. Now, is there going to be any dialogue after the fact? In private between the two parties. Well, you hope so, but what resolution?
Well,
what can they possibly do now?
It doesn't look good, but what do you do when your most valuable franchise in your league, sitting down the road here, plays every game at the Air Canada Center? You know, is that phone call important? Is the call from Larry Tannenbaum to Gary Bettman that says, well, hey, this is Air Canada. We're the Leafs. This is the Air Canada Center. You know, and unfortunately, I doubt it carries as much weight as it should. But I think, you know, Air Canada's a major player.
And again, the most interesting thing, I think, is as we wait for the next couple of days to see if anybody else jumps on board. What is going to be the response of Scotiabank? I believe a much larger sponsor of hockey at every level and certainly in the National Hockey League. And there are many, many others. How will they respond to this? Will they support the Air Canada decision, or will they stay in their cocoons and be concerned only about their own properties? We'll watch with great interest. Kerry, good of you to join us. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Kerry Kaplan, president of Cosmo Sports Marketing. We'll have more on this topic as the afternoon progresses from a variety of perspectives, and we're hoping that someone from Air Canada will join us, whether it's Denis Vandal, the director of communications and marketing, or someone else. We're working on it. The break and then more. This is Primetime Sports, coast to coast on The Fan and Sportsnet 1.